The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
And this morning, we open up this place for mighty, mighty moves of the Spirit. Stirrings of the waters. All over this place. I ask that nobody in this place, nobody will leave this place the same. That at the end of this service, we'll all be asking one question. What exactly did we hear that caused this kind of change in us? It will be so amazing. It will even be shocking to every one of us. Thank you, because I know that even from this place, the blessing of Zoe begins. Thank you, Father. I receive utterance, and for everyone here, revelation and understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Hallelujah. And so this morning, I promised us last week that today I was going to teach on laying on of hands, impartation, and all that. And I'm going to do that this morning. Amen. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay, so I'm going to just talk about that this morning. And you better follow. You know, throughout this month, I've been trying to prepare us for Zoe. And if you followed everything we've taught so far, I tell you, that meeting will not just leave you the same. And the reason we do this all the time, we have a special meeting coming up, is because we are the ones that determine the move of the Spirit in the Christian meeting. I say this all the time. Christian meetings do not just happen. We determine the move of the Spirit. We even determine the direction. And we've thought a lot on this. We determine what God is going to do. It's not really God that decides, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do in the meeting. This is how I am going to do it. He leaves that for you to decide. If it is God that decides what he's going to do and how he is going to do it, and whether he will do it, whether you like it or not, then that means we don't have a will. But good, glory to God, we have a will. Hallelujah. We can decide what will happen in a meeting. We can decide how it will happen in the meeting. We can decide how we will get blessed in a meeting. And that should settle in your head. And that should affect how you plan for every Christian meeting. And that's why you can realize that two people can come to a meeting and go home with two different testimonies, two different stories. To one person, it was just yet another meeting. Just like this Sunday service now can be just another Sunday for someone. But to some other person, it will be a life-changing experience for him. And I believe that's you. Hallelujah. See, God does not bring us to waste our time. Every time we gather, God comes. And because God comes every time we gather, God does not waste his time too. So if he's not coming for something or with something for us, then there was no point to come in the first place. So every time we gather like this, I am very optimistic because I know that God has gathered us for something. Hallelujah. And I'm going to be talking about laying on hands and impartation this morning in an attempt both to teach you and to prepare you for meetings, Zoe, and subsequent meetings. Hallelujah. You know, the laying on of hands, or what we call impartation, is as old as we can remember. Is as old as we can remember. One of the first times you see that happen in scriptures is Genesis 27 and verse 26. Of course, you know the story of Esau and Jacob, when Isaac wanted to bless one of them, and then of course wanted to bless Esau. But then the mother, who loved Jacob more, brought Jacob, and of course Esau was swindled. And Jacob got a blessing. His father, Isaac, said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. Verse 27. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see the smell of my son. He began to bless him. And that's one of the first places we see the issues of impartation or laying on offense or something. So the Old Testament we see, and I've taught you a couple of times, that the Israelites valued this thing I'm sharing with you very much. They value impartation. They value the blessing. It's so much that the Israelites, you know, if you're an Israelite, you are taught, if you're a Jew, you are taught that every morning, before your kids leave the house, You're supposed to speak a blessing over them. That's how much they value it. Every morning. And I hope that prayer and I believe that men here who are parents or who are hoping to be parents one day will learn what I'm sharing. Learn to speak a blessing over your kids every morning. Are you following me? Speak over them. That's what a priest does. And apart from parents speaking over their children in Israel, the priests will always speak over the people and say to them, the Lord bless you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. Let me say, share this with you. You know, I've always been laying hands on people all my life, you know, blessing people and all that. But in 2019, one of the instructions God gave me, I even saw it in my notes recently. He said, you don't speak the blessing enough on your people. Hallelujah. He said, you don't speak blessing enough on your people. And it was a very sharp rebuke for me. He was teaching me on the prophetic blessing. He said, you don't say it enough. Because personally, I'm a teacher of the word. I love to teach. I teach you, you understand, you go home and practice it. You know, but God corrected me. Every father, every pastor must learn to speak words and impart the people regularly. I told you in Israel, it's an every morning thing. Are you following me? Every morning. That's from your father. Then the priest, every time you gather, he must talk. And further enough, what he has to say is the same thing. The Lord bless you. The Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and cause his face to shine upon you every day. I get to the point. So it's something that we must learn. We must master. It's as old as we can remember. When Jesus came to the earth, he practiced impartation. He practiced laying on of hands. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 13. Hallelujah. Matthew 19 and verse 13. Then we are brought unto him, little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them, but Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not, okay, to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. So Jesus gathered little children and put his hands on them. Now, we were not told that these children were sick. We were not told that they had any problem. But parents were bringing their children for Jesus to put his hands on them. And that's impartation. That's laying on of hands. You also notice that the apostles practiced this a lot. In Acts chapter 13, we read about from verse 1, certain prophets and teachers who were in Antioch praying. We were giving their names. We see names like Barnabas, like Simeon, like Lucius, like Manian, and they were praying. And in verse 2, a voice came when they ministered to the Lord, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So after that voice came, they fasted and prayed. What did they do next? They laid their hands on them and sent them away. So the apostles practiced the laying on of hands. They laid their hands on them and sent them away. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14, Paul reminds Timothy that hands were laid on him. 1 Timothy 4 verse 14, he said, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. He said, don't neglect it. It was given thee by prophecy. So he tells Timothy, hands were laid on you. As though that was the only time, he reminded him again in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6. He reminded him again that hands were laid on him. Hallelujah. He said, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6. Sorry, 1 verse 6. He tells him to stir up the gift that is within him, that came on him by the laying on of my hands. Notice that in 1 Timothy 4, he told him the laying on of hands of the presbytery. That's the leadership of the church. In 2 Timothy 1, he tells him about the laying on of his own hands. I get to the point. So we see that laying on of hands was a constant thing in the early church. They practiced this a lot. I can just run you through some things. They used the laying on of hands for a couple of things. I will use it for a couple of things. Number one, it is used to minister healing. One of the major ways healing is ministered in the Bible is by hands being laid. It's by hands being laid. You know, if you read the Bible in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 25. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 25. Mark rather, not Matthew. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 25, we read about how Jesus laid hands on people and healed them. Mark 8:25. And after that, he put his lens again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. This was a blind man. Jesus put his hands on him, and by putting his hands on him, he got his healing. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 40, in Luke chapter 4 and verse 40, we read again, "Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse sickness diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them." Now, listen to what one of the things this teaching should do for you. This is not what I'm going to. I'm just trying to lay a foundation. But at least at this point, what it should do for you is to see there is nothing we do in church that we forge or that we came up with. And as a believer, you must know, you must have a scriptural backup. So every practice you do, everything you do, and everything you accept. So if there is no scriptural backup for laying offense, there is no point in doing it. And if there is a scriptural backup for it, then we must do it. Hallelujah. So he put his hands on them and healed them. So Jesus used the laying on of hands to minister healing. In fact, he instructed us to do the same. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 17, he says, "These signs shall follow they that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." Now, see verse 18. "They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So, laying on of hands is used to minister healing. It's one of the strongest ways through which healing is ministered. Laying on of hands, what do you call impartation? What else do we use it for? We can use laying on of hands to communicate and minister spiritual things. What I mean by that is spiritual things like spiritual gifts, gifts of healing. I can put my hands on you and the gift that was not working in you before or that you are not flowing in, by the putting on of my hands, I will impart it to you and you begin to flow in it. Are you following me? Are you following me? Yes, we are all full of the Holy Ghost. We all have the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But by laying on of hands, we can minister the Holy Ghost to you, and then things that either you are not flowing in them well, or they were just in you, they were dormant, we suddenly gain expression. In 1 Timothy 4 verse 14, we already saw that, how that Paul told Timothy to neglect not the gift that was in him. And he noted that that gift came by prophecy with the laying on of hands. So by the presbytery putting their hands on Timothy, Timothy began to flow in certain gifts. So Paul was telling him, don't neglect it. You see that again in that 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6, where he told him to stir up the gift that is within him. Stir up the gift that is within you. Hallelujah. And how did that gift come? Are you in church? How did the gift come? Look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. I want to quote it exactly how it is. How did the gift come? Hallelujah. So we see by laying of hands, gifts are ministered. I can also take you further to show you that Paul one day wrote, I think it was to the Corinthian church. He said, "I look forward to seeing you." No, it was Roman church. "I look forward to seeing you that I might give you some spiritual gifts." Hallelujah. I look forward. So Paul said, I'm coming to see you, and what I'm going to bring along as I'm coming, I'll bring along gifts. So you notice, for instance, as Zoe is coming, you must expect that hands will be laid. And as hands will be laid, gifts will be distributed. Hallelujah. That's why you find that when you're done with Christian meetings, your hands are laid. Certain things that were not working in you, that you are not flowing in, will suddenly begin to gain expression in you. Let me give you one example. In Numbers chapter 27 verse 18. Numbers 27 verse 18. We see a classic example of what I'm sharing with you. The Lord said unto Moses, "Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, and a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him." So he was instructed to lay hands upon Joshua. Now, of course, Moses did that. We now see the result of that in Deuteronomy 34 and verse 9. Open. Deuteronomy 34 and verse 9. Remember? He laid his hands on him. Now see the result. "And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of what? The Spirit of wisdom." Why? For Moses laid his hands on him. So by laying on of hands, Joshua became wise. So spiritual wisdom can be ministered by laying on of hands. In fact, I've learned that
There is hardly any spiritual thing that you cannot communicate by laying on offense. Hardly any. Hardly any. Tongues can be communicated by laying on offense. Gifts of healing. Everything you can think of. You see, I can put my hands on you, and when I'm done, you stand up, you have an amazing, amazing utterance. You begin to preach in a way that people are wondering, where is it coming from? Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
It can happen. You know, this guy became wise. And it was noted that the only reason he was wise was not because he read many books. But then, Moses laid his hands on him. So by the laying of hands, spiritual wisdom can be ministered. And if that is your expectation as Zoe, you will have it.
Amen.
I believe that by God's grace, I'm graced with wisdom.
Yes,
yeah, and I know it. And seriously, I do. Amen. And I can minister it. I can minister it. I can minister it. Many years ago, I was in my father's sitting room, not my sitting room. So I was in my father's sitting room. Amen. So, but then one of my people was just sitting around, and the girl brought a case to me. She was sitting, of course, she was eavesdropping on the conversation, and it was a very complicated case. And I just took my time and, trusting the wisdom of God, in less than five minutes, we demystified the thing. Just thought, well, do this. She was like, wow, this has bothered me for years, you know. And she left. Then she left. That other girl that was sitting around ran and came and knelt down. I said, what do you want? I said, this thing you are doing, I want that same wisdom. And wisdom can be imparted. Joshua became wise because Moses laid his hands on him. Gifts of healing can be imparted. Spiritual songs can be imparted. I mean, I can put my hands on you, and then from that time, you begin to hear songs in your spirit.
Yes,
I'm telling you. And then sometimes they say, you're just a powerful songwriter. No, so you need to realize, for me, I write songs, so you know.
Yes,
I just cannot sing them. I just write them. Amen. And it's not because I'm not even a poet. I'm not even... Some of you don't realize, I don't even like writing. That's only this is the reason why sometimes you're chatting me up on WhatsApp. I'm thinking of when I'm going to reply you. I don't like the stress of trying to write anything. Amen. So sometimes chat me up, I can just tell you, I will call you. Or call me. It's better we are talking. So it's not like I like writing. Most of the things you're seeing is by the Spirit. Hallelujah. When I want to write, I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, see, you know, you're leading me to write this thing. You know I don't want to write it. You know I don't even have strength to write it. So let's just write it, Lord. That's why when I'm writing, don't interrupt me. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me if I'm writing. I'm working on that. Amen. Hallelujah. But then this is can be ministered. Even writing spiritual songs can be ministered. Hallelujah. Can be ministered. I tell you, everything spiritual can be ministered by impartation. What else do you use impartation for? Laying of hands can also be used to minister or communicate material things. Material blessings. Every kind of material blessing. And this is the part that many people don't yet understand in the church. We think that life is all about putting your best and something will work. No. Hands can be laid on you. And what was not working before will begin to work better.
Yes,
what was slow will speed up.
Yes,
are you following me?
Yes,
for instance, a perfect example is what I've already shared with you. Genesis 27, where we read. Look at how they fought for that laying on of hands. That Rebecca had to even sneak in her own favorite son. Notice that after... I love people that know how God works. After Isaac put his house on Jacob, Rebecca knew that Esau would begin to fight to destroy this boy. So she told him, run. Now, Jacob ran without an extra cloth, without an extra shoe. In fact, he said, I passed over Jordan with only my staff, only his walking stick, no extra money. What was Rebecca's confidence? I get the point. What was the confidence that you can ask a child you love so much to just run? That everything will be fine. Because the father had put hands on him and spoken words. And of course, Jacob went and came back victorious. When he came back, he told them, I passed over Jordan with just my staff. But now, my camp is full. And see, we can use our voice to communicate spiritual things. And that same Jacob practiced it. That's why in Genesis 49, when he wanted to die, he gathered all his sons and began to speak over them one by one. He began to speak into their future. Some, he told them bad things anyway. But he spoke into their future. Hallelujah. All of them. The whole of Genesis 49, from verse 1 down, he was speaking. He spoke to Reuben. He spoke to Judah. In fact, he spoke, he prophesied. See the point? He even spoke the fact that Jesus will come from the tribe of Judah. He said the scepter will not depart from Judah. He was talking about Jesus. Are you following me? He kept talking. He said, no, a lawgiver between his feet until Shiloh come. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. See, a man laid down on his bed and spoke, you see, over a child, not just over a child, and spoke over 1,000 generations to come. And that's the power of impartation. We can use it to minister, we can use impartation to expand your business. We can use it to expand your career, we can use it to do a lot of things. There's a popular, I don't want to mention names, there's a popular musician, funny enough though, a secular musician. You know, secular musician is not a corrupt musician, a secular musician. Do you get what I mean? It's not like he's... No, there are secular musicians and there are corrupt musicians. Just that now, almost every musician in Nigeria is corrupt because it looks like if you don't sing all those nonsense, you will not sell. So, but this guy, secular musician, guy, you know, the church I worshipped before in Ascended Pastoring and all that, that was his church. I always comes there, he always plays keyboard for pastor and all that. And then one of those days, camp meeting like this, you know, pastor was like, oh, well, we want to raise money, we want to do a project, we have money. He came up, it was upcoming then. And he gave 1 million. I'm telling you what I experienced. He gave 1 million, and pastor said, come. And put his hands on him, and told him, your next song will take over the world. If I sing the song now, all of you will join me, so let me not sing it. It's not look like your pastor is listening to secular music. Praise God. But that was it. He just put his hands on him and spoke. And then in the next couple of months, a song came up all over the place. And so some things are not coincidental. A certain musician sang that if you see mommy water, you know that song? A very old song. If you see mommy water, make you not run away. Actually, the story behind that song that I heard behind the song is that he had an encounter with a mermaid. And the mermaid puts some things on him, and that is how he became as popular as he is. So he sang that song for that mermaid. Life is spiritual. Are you following me? Life is quite spiritual. And that's the same way you can want to start. That's why I tell people, and I've said when I was teaching you on the blessed man, never trivialize the blessing. You see, the way God, I'm running ahead of myself, but let me just talk about it. The way God operates, watch, at the beginning of everything God does, he starts with a blessing. When God created man, the first thing he did was to bless man. And God told man, be fruitful, multiply. First thing. That's why I believe you want to start a business, the blessing. You give birth to a child, the blessing. You want to start your marriage. People say things like, oh, is church wedding scriptural? Church wedding is not scriptural. You know, the thing scriptural is traditional marriage. But I say the truth. I cannot believe I know Bible more than you. Yes. Amen. And because I know the Bible more than you, I'm going to tell you the truth. The truth is actually, there is no church wedding in the Bible. There is just traditional marriage. That's why in this church, in case you don't know, if you want to get married, before we even, you see, one of the things, before we start our process, we ask you to go and you get a letter of consent from the both parents that they consent to the marriage. And then we counsel you. When we are done counseling you, You see, before you come to our church, you must have gone to settle at the village, bride price and what have you. You must. Now, but then, I understand all of that. And then after that, we'll make you go to court and then do the legal thing. But you see, there is still nothing wrong with starting your union with a blessing. Meeting in church in the presence of God's people, and your pastor joins you and speaks words over you. Don't play with it. Don't be too woke. Are you following me? Don't be too woke. The only thing is, if you don't have money, you mustn't make it a grand thing. You can come on a Sunday morning like this, just wear with white, whatever you want, and I do it sharp, sharp. And you marry like that. Do you see the point now? You mustn't share food. You don't owe anybody food. You know, the reason why this is looking very strange to you is because you don't have money. Yeah, you don't have money. So you think that if you do not cook, they will say you don't have money. But actually, if you have all the money and you don't cook, they will say, ah, you know these rich people, that's how they do their thing. So because I have money, I think if I don't cook, now people will not say I don't have. Don't worry, you have money. They can just say, well, not just cook, you just want to do it low key and then everything is fine. So there's nothing wrong with the blessing. Don't say things like, well, I don't have to be. Well, if you don't, it's fine, you are still married. But there's nothing wrong with the blessing. So by impartation, we can minister things. Children are gotten by impartation. People have sense by impartation. I'm telling you, people expand their business by impartation. You know, I realized something that what you go and make your research. That most big companies in the world, I mean frontline companies in the world, they give a percentage of their money, some to church, some to mosque or whatever temple they do it to, and then some to charity. And in all, they are requesting for prayers. I get to the point. Because they know that there is more to this world than hustle. And that thing is the blessing. And as so, I'm going to put a blessing upon you. Put it upon your job, upon your career, upon your business. And the blessing is that thing that will aid you, that will aid you. And it doesn't mean you will not work again. It doesn't mean you will not labor again. But it will aid your labor. You know, I shared with you two weeks ago. God never intended that we will not work. When we talk about people can be blessed financially, it's not outside work. But look at this, friends. Even before the fall of man, God already gave man work. What is the work? Tend the garden. But that work he gave him, he was working under the blessing. The blessing of be fruitful, multiply. Are you following me, church? So it was very easy. After the fall, was that still work to be done? Yes. What is now the difference? That is now a struggle. That is now a curse. By your sweat, you will feed. Are you following me? Yes, so actually, the blessing. Students, writing your exam, read your books. God never intended that you just sit down and that he will tell you answer in the hall. No. He wants you to work. But he doesn't want you to labor under a curse. He wants you to work under the blessing. Are you following me? You want to go for an interview? Do your homework well. Study. Do all of that. But then, the blessing too. Because sometimes in life, the race is not for the swift. Yeah. Sometimes the battle is not for the strong. Have you not seen a very talented person? You see the person, you are wondering, how are you not popular yet? Are you following me? The guy is so talented. You are wondering, how come people don't know you yet? With all these things that you have. And that's why there is that blessing factor. So impartation can do that. It sorts that a lot. Now, why am I sharing all this with you? Because one key thing that must happen. Okay, before I get to that. Okay, well, let me talk about that. One key thing that happens in Christian meetings is that impartation happens. One thing you must expect whenever we gather is that there will be impartations. Hallelujah. Our impartations. And actually, what makes impartation? Let me explain impartation to you a little. The key thing that happens when impartation happens, or when hands are laid, is prophecy. I want to say, make you understand it, because most of you talk about impartation, laying of hands. Now, it doesn't mean that hands must touch your head. If it does, that's beautiful. But the key thing when we talk about impartation is prophecy. What is prophecy? Prophecy is inspired utterance. So the major thing is the words being spoken. For instance, in 1 Timothy 4 verse 14, he said, neglect not the gift that is in you, that came upon thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands. So what happens when we lay hands? We speak words. Prophecy happens. So when we lay hands, prophecy happens. Words are spoken to bless from a higher person to a lower person. Now that's the difference between impartation and every kind of thing. Because actually, someone even lower than you or your mate can give you a prophetic word. Now that's not impartation. That's not impartation. The rule of impartation, according to Hebrews 7 verse 7, is that without controversy, the lesser is blessed of the greater. So it is a situation whereby someone that of course is bigger than you, of course, spiritually, or maybe your father, biological father, puts his hands on you and begins to speak words over you. Now, the important thing is not just about the hands being laid, it's about the words being spoken. When Moses put his hands on Joshua, he spoke words over him. He didn't just put his hands on him for putting sake, he put his hands on him and spoke words over him. This is one thing that must happen every time we gather. So you notice, whether I am putting my hands on you or I am not, I am speaking words over you. And that's impartation happening. Those who are speaking over you have the capacity to heal you. They have the capacity to make you great. They have the capacity to change your story. They have the capacity to do anything. They have the capacity to even communicate spiritual things to you. They have that capacity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as you come for Sowe, and as you come for Christian meetings, you must expect that pastor will speak words over me. You must expect that he will lay hands on me. You must expect that he's going to touch me and say things, and by that laying of hands, my life will not be the same. And because it can, wherever you have the need, it travels to that exact spot where you have the need and handles it. For instance, if it's a sickness, by the laying on of hands, what happens, it looks like the man's hands and his words becomes, they will become conductors that will conduct the power of God into your system. So as I speak over you, you must know how to receive it. As I lay hands on you, you must know how to receive it. Because like every other spiritual thing, you see, if you don't know how to receive these things, they won't work for you. I can prophesy over your life by the Spirit, and yet nothing will change. And that's not because I'm fake or that the prophecy is fake. That is because you've not learned how to engage these things. I can put my hands on you. I can gather 10 people to put their hands on you, and nothing will change. Because you must know how these things work. As I'm sharing with you this morning, I've taught you many times in this place that prophecies are not fulfilled automatically. They're not suddenly fulfilled. There is no law that says that once I speak over you, something must change. There's no law like that. When I put my hands on you, something should change. But whether it will change or not is dependent on you. Prophets are not fulfilled automatically. I used to share this story with you. I was in Abuani in the last 3 weeks, and I shared the same story with them. I heard it when I was very young, and it changed my life. Hallelujah. There was a young boy that was born in a certain community. They were not even Christians. And then the day the child was born, stories have been that about 7 native doctors from neighboring communities came to where the boy was born. And all of them came with the same prophecy, with the same word of prophecy. This child is going to be great. This child is going to be this and that. And all of them named the child, is it Iranwo? Is anybody Yoruba here? Any Yoruba person? Or you understand Yoruba? Anybody? Okay, what does Irawan mean? What does Irawan mean? Yeah. Star, right? Yes, I wanted to be sure correct. They named the child Irawan. It means star. You get the point? All of them had the same word. This child is a star. This child is a star. Now, you would have thought that by now, this child will be Nigeria's president. You would have thought. Guess what happened? primary two. She was in school, or he was in school, playing. And then over across their school fence, there is something like a mud. Students are not allowed to cross over there. For some reason, he now climbed the fence, jumped down, and sank in that mud, and died. Now, the story changed my life. He told me that it's not a question of what God wants or what anybody has said over you. It can be terminated. It may not come to pass. I get to the point. So you must learn to maximize your way. Because people say this like, everything that's speaking of us, oh, you'll be blessed, you'll be blessed. Oh, all these things live, they're just trying to entertain us. Well, the problem is, you are complaining. It is working for some people. Yes, I don't get the point. You are complaining, finding for, oh, why is this? That? Some people are getting blessed. So you must learn how to engage prophecies, whether it is positive or negative. Because prophecies don't get fulfilled automatically. So when we put hands on you, or not even put hands on you, we speak. You must know that when we speak like that, God wants those things to happen, wants that positive. But then God will not force those things to happen. You have to know how to receive what we are offering and how to make those things happen. And I can give you one or two ways you can do that, so that you will not just waste words that were spoken over you. Every meeting we speak, you know, there was a time in my life I stopped laying hands on people. For a long time, I stopped anything in impartation, laying offense. But I was really troubled. Because every time we come to meetings, we say, oh, power of God, move. People fall. Sometimes the same people. And then they get up all the time, and then nothing changes in their life. I will lay hands on them again. And they fall again. And that's what I stopped. For a very long time. Now, I knew there was something. Is that what I'm doing is not right? Or what they're doing is not right? One of us is wrong. Because they fall, shout, speak in tongues, they get up. Oh, they changed. Hallelujah. Now, sorry to say, when I was growing up, I grew up in a church that all these spiritual things was not really very common. So any day we have special meetings, like special vigils, there are special people that always fall. Have you observed that? Special people. Ah, oh God, I'm not going to say this. Thank you, Father. My mouth is sealed in Jesus' name. But I remember some experiences. Some of those guys, pastors we had, those come and say, ah, God is confirming some people. Confirmation. And the same people will fall down. And I was very observant. I said, what is happening? Your life is not changing. What is happening? I don't believe that God just wants to tickle us. You get the point? He doesn't just want to push us down. He wants to change us for real. Are you following me, church? And we must know how to engage these things. So that we can get... You see, God doesn't just want us to fall down. Now, do you believe in falling down fully? I totally believe in falling down under the power of God. And I believe that even, well, in fact, I believe that if God is standing here, I should even prostrate before him. So I see nothing wrong with the power of God. But what God wants from us is beyond pushing us to the ground. He wants to change us. I get to the point. When he puts his hands on us, he wants the sickness to disappear. When he puts his hands on us, he wants us to come up better. When he puts his hands upon our business, he doesn't just want us to fall down and stand up. He wants us to fall down, stand up, and see that everything has changed. So I stopped laying hands for some time. And I started studying. Hallelujah. On what is this laying of hands thing. And then after some time, I did a teaching. First time I taught on this was 2016, LMP. Some of you that came. I taught on the truth about laying on of hands. Hallelujah. Because I had to study and find out what is actually missing. I'm going to share with you some things, some ways to make laying on of hands work for you. Whether we're laying hands on you or we're speaking words over you. And even as I'm speaking over you this morning, how you can make those things work for you. I've started sharing one of them already. Of course, I talked about it last week, so I'll just mention it today. One of them is honor. Okay? Laying on of hands works by honor. First of all, you must be able to honor the man that is putting hands on you. If you do not honor that man, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 7 verse 7 that is on the screen, that without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. In other words, if you do not believe that someone is better or more whatever than you, then the chances are you will not be blessed by him. Even if he begins to speak over you. That's why there is a posture that you check the Bible. Whenever hands are being laid, they kneel down. The reason that kneeling down is a way to show, I submit, you can pray for me. I always say this, the tap is up. The bucket cannot be at the same level with the tap and expect to fetch from the tap. The bucket must come under to fetch from the tap. So when we lay hands on you, there must be honor in your heart. Are you following me? Honor for the anointed. And I showed you last week how that Jesus went to his hometown in Matthew 13 and verse 58. The Bible said he could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. And I showed you that their unbelief was that they dishonored him. They saw him like, is this not the carpenter's son? And because they saw him like that, I always say, the carpenter's son does not heal the sick. The carpenter's son does not open blind eyes. The carpenter's son does not impart anything. So if the carpenter's son lays hands on you, nothing will change. But if you stop seeing him as a carpenter's son and begin to see him as Jesus, Jesus opens blind eyes. Christ opens deaf ears. See, what's how they saw him. And as I will say things like, the closer you get to the anointed, the more careful you must become. The closer you get to the anointed, the more careful you must become. Because if you're not careful, people will come from all over the world to get blessed from that same man, and you will go back, nothing will happen to you. I'll tell you why it's so. Because when you're closer to the man, you will become very familiar. Secondly, you will see his humanity. You see, what happened to them in this verse was, they knew the humanity of Jesus too much. They mentioned his mother's name, mentioned his father's name, mentioned his brother's name. This is not this guy. This boy that was playing ball, we know him. They knew him too much. And because they knew his humanity too much, his divinity could not work for them. Are you following me? So they knew him too much. And so, in working with a man of God, you must be very careful. The closer you get, the more careful you must become. That's why I've said this all the time. Sometimes when a church begins to grow, you know some of these are churches. Some of these are churches that have been here for like 30, 35, 40 years, who are well known for miracles. If you worship in any of those churches, you will know. Like, you'll get to a time, people who are in those churches are no longer getting blessed in those churches. They're not getting healed. People that are actually sharing testimonies are coming from all over the world. Do you know why? Now you're excited at what I'm teaching you. Imagine if I have to teach you this same thing for the next 40 years. You've heard everything. In fact, what I'm saying, what I might be saying now, I told you about 25 years ago. You've heard it a lot. So there is a tendency that you begin to become very common and familiar with the anointing. Are you getting me? And the people that just come across the man on the internet that are shouting, my God, where is this man coming from? So when they are shouting, they say, that's my pastor, you know. He's anointed. What is happening is, you're so used to everything. Nothing will happen to you. So you see people in a miracle-believing church die sick. And people come from far and get healed in the same meeting. I didn't get the point. Some of these men that are in the forefront of Christianity in Nigeria are heavily anointed. I was talking to a Deeper Life girl one day. And I told her, she was telling me, I said, do you know that Pastor Kumuyi is one of the most anointed men when it has to do with working of miracles? I don't know if you know this. One of the most, I'm not talking about working of miracles, radical miracle working power of God. I didn't get the point. It was the first place I read of someone that they put an iron, the leg was broken, they put iron within. He prayed. The leg began to move. What happened to the iron? Nobody knew. First time. He would say things like, camera, move that way. No, those days, early days of ministry. I have a document, I have a book, a biography of Pastor W.F. Kumuyi. Very amazing. He can move camera to, he said, camera, move that way. If you have shorter leg, move that way. Camera, please focus on them. All of them will grow now by the power of God. Simply like that. Talk of Bishop Oyedepo. Talk of Apostle E.A. Adeboye. You hear testimonies. But you see, the chances are you could be in some of those churches for long. Nothing will happen to you because you are so used to what they're saying. Are you following me? Yes, you are so used to it. He said, what does he want to say again? He said, the Lord, Baba said, there are 40 of you here. That, you know, I say, oh, we've heard again, we've heard. I'm even feeling sleepy. People are getting healed. Hallelujah. One of the things you must not become is familiar with the anointing. Never become familiar. That's why you become, you're a lady here, you get married to a pastor. Be very careful. Or you're a man here, you get married to a pastor too. Be very careful too. That it stops working, that it doesn't stop working for you. Or maybe your father is a pastor. Be careful too. Because then your father you are seeing as, you know, just this man, daddy, daddy. People are coming from all over the world to lie down at his feet and they're getting their results. So you see, the thing is in your perspective. I get the point. It's how you see him. Amen. Amen. So where it's coming, I'm going to speak over you. I'm going to anoint you. I'm going to lay hands on you. You must have a heart of honor. Not just now, but forever. Hallelujah. Not just now, but forever. The second thing, if you're going to get a person of impartation, of course, I talked about some of this last week. I'll just go by it again. Is value. Not just valuing me now. Value that very event. Value impartations. And this one area that the Nigerian church needs to learn. Value impartation. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4. He said, neglect not that gift that was given. Don't forget what happened to you. Don't lose sight of it. Do you know, when I talk of valuing impartation, what comes to mind easily is Esau and Jacob. How Isaac told Esau, go and bring me venison, let me bless you. And Rebecca sneaked in his own. You know, I always tell you this whenever I teach on this, every time I teach on this, I mention this. How can it be that a man was about to die, a wealthy man, a man as wealthy as Isaac, and the children, instead of fighting over his will, and fighting over lands, and fighting over properties, they are fighting over impartation? That's value system. I get the point. If I lay hands on you, and you don't have, you don't understand, you don't have real value for it, it will just be yet another handshake. And that's what I used to it. You must value the event. This event has changed people's life. Impartation has turned people's life around. So they were fighting for it. Jacob ran into his sheep pen and brought out the best and prepared it very fast. Rebecca helped him coordinate the food and they took to him very fast. Esau went to hunt. In fact, by the time Esau came back and they told him Jacob has gotten the blessing, he knelt down. He was crying, my father, is there not even one blessing? That's value for impartation. If you understand, if you didn't value it, he has created a blessing. So, it's fine. What is this? It's not just blessing. I go see enter streets. I go still make him leave all these ones. Hallelujah. But he felt he had lost something. And actually, he lost something. He felt he knew something had left. He knew there was something missing. And that's why you must value impartation. You must value hands being laid. You go to some of our churches that you feel they don't have as much light as you have. Some of them even use money. Now, that is wrong. Okay? When you bring money for a man to pray for you, that money must be given as honor and not as a way to buy the impartation. Are you getting me? You can't buy impartation. Simon the sorcerer wanted to do it and met Peter and offered him money and said, give me these gifts you have so that when they lay hands on me, myself will collect. Also, when I lay hands on me, sorry, they will collect. And Peter told him, your money perish with you. What that means is, after you are done perishing, your money will perish. Both of you. So you don't buy invitation. But this is some of these guys in that you feel they don't have much life. They carry money and they run after men of God. Now that may not be correct. But that shows how much they value what is happening. Some companies, you know, don't ever start the year if they don't go meet some men of God to speak over them. Forget everything you're seeing on TV. I'm talking about top companies. Any man of God that told us in confidence that is a multinational company that is in this nation that brings 30% of everything they bring to him. I'm talking about a very wealthy man. 30%. Why do you think they're doing that? You think they're being brainwashed? You can brainwash one person. You can't brainwash an entire company. Hallelujah. You can brainwash them for 2 years. Not for more than 15, 20 years. They've been doing the same thing. You know, Dr. Maokwa shared a story one day. It was on his bed that I was listening to his story. He said, a man today brought a car gift to him. And then, of course, the wife told him, stop bringing cars to my husband. I've told you, I've warned you to stop bringing cars to my husband. The last ones you've brought, nobody has driven it. Hallelujah. And the man laughed and said, madam, I've told you, if people will not drive it, keep parking it there. Because every time I bring cars to your husband and he speaks over me, I close a major deal. So I am going to bring another one. So if you guys don't want to drive, I say, see, they're fighting. Who am I? I'm here. Look. They're fighting. Is it car? And what? And it's not like just one. Praise God. And that's amazing. So you think people are not foolish? Again, people are not foolish. He said, I'm going to bring, he said, my even next time, I'm going to bring another one. Because every time. Now, that is when you have value. You might feel they don't know, you feel, why is he doing all of that? You must value impartation. You must value it. Get the point? Even in December, I'm going to fly all the way from here to Lagos to go and receive impartation. So that hands can be laid on me and I'll fly back. Are you getting the point? You must value it. And it's when you have value for it that begins to work for you. So you see, all Isaac just did was bless Jacob. And Jacob ran. In fact, he didn't bother about carrying his things. He knew he has gotten something. That's value. Are you getting the point? That's value. So you must value impartation. If it's going to work for you, you must have real value for it. That's why the Bible will tell us in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 20. It says, despise not prophesying. I thought that one of the things that happens when impartations happen is that there are prophecies. Words are spoken. And Paul said, don't despise it. When words are spoken over you, don't look down on them. Don't trivialize prophecies. Don't trivialize impartations. Hallelujah. Don't do that. Paul told Timothy, don't neglect it. Don't forget it. That's why one of the ways that even shows that you value what you are doing, that's why when after we impart and we speak, was go and write it. How many of you have ever come across words that you were given many years ago and then you notice they've all been fulfilled? You write them down. You're writing that you are documenting it. Somebody gave you an asset. You will keep it well. Are you following me? You keep it well. So you must value impartation. Don't despise it. Something happens to us when hands are laid on us. Something happens to us. And so you must look forward to it. Hands being laid, words spoken. You must look forward to it. Hands laid, words spoken. Hands laid, words spoken. They will change you. They will bring healing to your body. They will bring supply. They will bring answers that you need. They will make for ease. They will answer spiritual issues that are in your life. They will settle complications. Hallelujah. That's why one of these I'm bringing for you at Zoe. I'm coming with so much words. I'm coming with so much words. Inspired or trance by the Spirit. And if you're a minister here, listen to me. Never miss the opportunity to speak words over people you are leading. Never. No matter even if you feel you're just anointed to be a teacher or anything. Speak words over them. And if you have a pastor, a leader that does not speak words over you, the person is robbing you. Arrest him. I'm telling you. Because most of the time, he needs to talk. Because many things, pay attention, that you've taught people and it's not working in them, they don't need to learn it. They need to catch it. And catching is by impartation. Are you following what I'm saying? Maybe this you've taught people. I've taught someone on a lady I met, I can't forget that, 2007 or 8, when I was very young in the ministry, I began to do some of these things. I was around a girl's school. I don't want it that you find common in girls' schools, secondary schools, is lesbianism. So this very girl was, she had that, it wasn't just one of those things they were doing, she was addicted to it. Good thing is, she started me up recently, that's why I remember this story. She was addicted to it. If she tells me, she said, it's like a spirit is controlling me. So sometimes I sit like this, we come for games, they're normal, you know, hostel games now. Say, and I see my fellow people, I'm just looking at them, I'm just attracted to them. Sometimes we go to have our baths, and all I'm doing is I'm looking and I'm attracted. I say, now, wow. And I counseled. I did a lot of things. I gave instructions. I did whatever. And it wasn't working. It would work. It would stop working. And it continued like that. So one day we're having a vigil. And I sensed the power of God very strongly to break addictions. And I put my hands on her. And she went violently under the power of God. But then laid down and do stuff. I asked them to leave her. She woke up after like 30 minutes with a shout of joy. I said, what happened to you? She said, I was in a trance. She said, and I was in a room, in a big house. And in that trance, I ran out from the house. I told them I'm going. And many of the girls there were calling me back, begging me to come back. And I told them, I'm not turning back. I am going. And they were begging me, trying to force me. And finally, I ran out of the compound, shouting and rejoicing. And that's how I got up. And that was the end of that addiction. Many of the things that you are teaching and people are not getting it, impartation can hand it over to them.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you the truth. And I've seen this and I'm telling you, happen many, many, many times. Even let me say something to you. If you are here and you know there is an area of your life that you've applied every necessary thing to be applied, you've done all you should. It's not like you are lazy. You've studied. You are diligent. You've done everything you need to do in the natural, and it's still not working. You need an extra force. And I have that force. And I'll bring it for us away. Because sometimes that is what is lacking. You've done everything. I'm not talking about lazy people, though. We are doing business. You've done everything. You did your marketing. You studied. You did everything. You are doing everything right. But it's still not working. An extra force. The chances are there are things stopping you. And when hands are laid, things change. So you must value impartation. How else do you receive impartation? Now, I already showed you 1 John 5 verse 20. He said, despise not prophesying. But you know, before he said despise not prophesying, he gave some instructions on how not to despise prophesying. I'll start from verse 16. Verse 16, he says, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. So when prophecies come, before they come, or when they come rather, you must receive them with rejoicing. Now, why are you receiving it with rejoicing? Because you believe that what the man is saying is going to work. Are you following me? If I put hands on you and I'm praying for you, your heart should be glad. When I'm done, you should shout for joy. When I'm done, you should be excited. I was saying it on Thursday. I woke up to you, you are sick, and I put my hands on you. If the light leaps to sense, start shouting for joy. You've gotten something.
Yes,
but that's the thing, you must rejoice evermore. You must rejoice. Rejoicing is a way to show that you've received something. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 20 how a certain man, or it was a parable Jesus told, he said, but he that received the seed into stony place, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. The only problem was that the man, of course, he had no root. But we must learn from how he received the word first. He received it with joy. So I speak what's over you. That's why when I tell you things like, oh man, your business, things have changed, you rejoice. Listen, this is why I said you must value it. Now, I said something when I was starting. The priests in the Old Testament had to speak over the children of Israel and speak the same words over them every day. That's very powerful. The same words. The Lord bless you. The Lord leave the light of his countenance upon you. And the Lord cause his face upon you. The same words every day. And they're supposed to receive it well every day. I get to the point. So in other words, if every time I just touch you, I say, you are blessed, the same excitement. That is how to receive the word. But many of us, we get excited when we hear something new. Sometimes I can just touch you and tell you, everything has changed. If you've heard it 50 times, it should create the same emotions. And I want to say to somebody, everything has changed. Yeah. You must believe it. And whatever it means for you, everything has changed. Everything has changed. Everything has changed. You must believe the word of God. You must believe that it works. Hallelujah. You must believe that it works. Glory to God. I've done ministry without impartation. I've done ministry with impartation, and I've seen things change. I am telling you. Do you know even what you call influence? Influence can be imparted. What I'm saying is, I can put my hands on you, and when I'm done, suddenly visibility. You notice the same products you've been advertising will suddenly begin to receive attention by impartation. I get the point. The same ministry you've been doing, you put posters, nobody wants to notice it. Suddenly, people just know that you exist. Suddenly, people are just noticing that there is somebody called this. Suddenly. Even influence can be imparted. You know, God told Moses, take these people, 70 men, and put some of your honor upon them. In other words, put some of your honor, some of the regard that people have for you, put it on them by impartation. So I can put my hands on you, and suddenly people begin to respect you. Favor can be imparted. Put my hands on you, and suddenly people begin to favor you. They begin to look favorably upon you. I've heard stories, so even stories of people. A lady wants to get married, she's getting to 30, 35, 38. Nobody is trying to notice her. But then suddenly, after meetings like this, it looks like there is a rush. I've seen the favor of God cause what you might not call a very beautiful person to begin to gain the attention of people, that she has to make a choice. And then the very pretty one will be attracting all the... That's why the wise Solomon said that the race is not for the swift. And I can tell you, this is forever true. Sometimes it's not about who puts in all the efforts. Sometimes it's about the man the Lord has helped. And I am the help of God. God has helped me. And God will help you. He will help you very early. Every area where you need help, God will minister help to you. Every area where you need assistance, God will grant you the assistance you need. Every area where you need someone to support you, God will be that support. He will help you. He will help you. He will help you right early. If you've been going to an office asking for something and they've been denying you, right now you return back there and there is no help for you in that place. In the name of Jesus, may you never be lacking help. Never 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 lacking help. Wherever you need help, help will appear for you. Jehovah will be your Ebenezer. He will be your Ebenezer. He will be your stone of help. He will be your stone of assistance. He will be there to assist you. He will be there to help you. And right early. I'm seeing something in the spirit. I'm seeing a conspiracy. There is someone here, people are conspiring up against you to remove you from somewhere that you are. I don't know who I'm talking about. You know there's a conspiracy around you to remove you from somewhere that you are. If you're like that, put your hands up. I want to pray for you. You see, that conspiracy, what I'm hearing in my spirit, from now, there will be more men to speak for you. Even when you are not present. God gave you that place. Nobody can take it away from you. And so that conspiracy will not stand. The conspiracy will not stand. God will bring up men that will speak for you. That will be your voice. Even when you are not there, they will defend you. They will stand up for your cause, says the Lord. Jehovah, our stone of help. He that will help us. He that will help us. Pray the Holy Ghost all over this place. Rocking you make him weary. Chima dige yura. 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 O dige yura o chima dige yura chima dige yura o dige yura chima dige yura Okay, good man, came with higher barada. O dige yura.
Chima dige yura.
Rada sofra de carabato cadana barada.
Okay, good man, came with chima dige yura.
Alabara.
You are the mighty God. You are the glorious God. Alabara. You are the mighty God. When you that trumpet you, you are the glorious God.
Alabara.
Alabara. You are the mighty God. You are the glorious God. Alabama.
Hey.
You are the mighty God.
Yes, yes, yes.
When
yes.
You are to be true, you what are the what? Glorious
Alabara.
God. Alabama.
Alabama.
You are the mighty God. When you are to be true, you are the glorious God.
The Lord is removing the shame. What was meant to bring you shame, the Lord will not let it prevail. Sit down. Bread of life is from you.
Lord, we honor you.
Lord, we honor you.
Alabara.
Alabara.
You are the mighty God.
You are the mighty God.
And you are to be true.
And you are to be true.
You are the glorious God.
You are the glorious God.
Alabara.
Alabara.
You are the mighty God.
You are the mighty God.
And you are to be true.
And you are to be true.
You are the glorious.
You are the glorious God.
Alabara. God is helping men. You see, what you are doing now, of course, that's the next thing. After 1 Thessalonians 5:16 said, rejoice evermore. Verse 17 said, pray without ceasing. So when you receive prophetic words, after you rejoice, don't let it pass. When we lay hands on you, start praying. Don't just go down under the anointing and stay down. Pray. You know, I tell you one thing that prayer is going to do for you. Bring it down a little. Sit for a moment. Let me see if I can teach. I sense the power of God here. But just be on the strings. All these prayers we do for you, when prophetic words are given, when we lay hands on you and pray for you, you start praying yourself too. Now, one of the things it's going to do for you is that it's going to become clearer. What God wants to do, we get very clear. You know, when the Bible says, you know, in Acts chapter 13, when the word came, said, pray unto me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work I've given them. The Bible said, after they heard that word, the Bible said, they fasted and prayed. How to respond when God speaks to you is to begin to pray. So when we lay hands on you, don't receive it carnally.
People, when I see some people walking up to receive impartation, I can almost tell that nothing will happen to them. When you receive it, you rejoice. You begin to pray. You don't just receive it and just pray. As you pray, sometimes what I gave you is just one word. In the place of prayer, it will open up the more. You get the point? You'll be able to lay hold of everything that God is giving you. So he said, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. So, verse 16 says, rejoice evermore. Verse 17 said, pray without ceasing. Verse 18 tells us that in everything, give thanks. That's one other thing you do when you receive prophecies. You begin to thank God for them. After you've prayed, as you are returning to your seat and when you're done with the prayer, begin to give thanks. Why are you giving thanks? Because it is as good as done. Because when God says a thing, it's as good as settled. Hallelujah. If I put hands on you for healing, you rejoice. You've prayed it in. You begin to give thanks for your healing. Oh, thank you for I am healed. You begin to give thanks for your healing. Of course, verse 19 now came to that place we got to last week. He now says, quench not the spirit. Verse 20, he now says, there's a pastor prophesying. So you give thanks. You give thanks like it is true because it is true. Then you pay attention. Now that's one, two more, three more things I'm going to say. Pay attention to the words spoken. Pay attention to the words and impartation. Now I have to add this. When hands are about to be laid on you, don't pay attention to everything. Don't pay attention to, well, am I going to fall with my clothes dirty? That's not the important thing. It's not the falling that changes anything. I didn't get the point. Don't pay attention to, should I fall, should I not fall? Just release yourself and pay attention to the words that you have been spoken to. Those words you are hearing, pay attention. Hallelujah, as you are speaking. You know that you begin to check, oh, can my leg carry me? If I fall now, what would they say? Is there an usher at my back to catch me? Let me check. That's what you pay attention to. Because what you know, you make a spiritual thing become very carnal. I get the point. So you pay attention to the words that you are speaking. They are hearing and the impartation itself. Forget about everything around you. When I come to this impartation, I'm lost. I'm lost. And I'm just with God, looking at God, trusting Him. And pay attention to that. Then I tell you two more things you do. After you receive the invitation, don't stop there. As you go home, now this is where there is a problem. Many of us, everything we receive as invitation, we end in church. No. When you go home, contend with invitations. Words don't suddenly come to pass. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 18, Paul told Timothy, was instructing Timothy about the words of prophecy he has received. He said, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them might war a good warfare. You use prophecies to make war. When I speak to you, I'm not just giving you assets. I'm giving you weapons to fight with. What I'm saying is, if you receive this verse and you go home, it may not come to pass. Take it from me. It may not. Is that why? I can even tell you one reason. Because once a prophecy has gone forth, Satan must rise against that prophecy. Now let me say something to you. If you are here under the sound of my voice, and a man of God has ever called you out publicly or put hands on you to say something like, God is going to use you, you are going to take nations. Be very careful. You are the next target of the devil. Satan will always come after prophetic words. Always. That's why you notice after that happens, after 3 months, you lose passion. In fact, something's going to happen in your life because they want to talk you out of that prophecy. When the prophecy came in Genesis 3, the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent, Satan went to war immediately. Entered Cain because he was looking for who is the seed of the woman. Possessed Cain, obviously it's not Cain, I'm possessing him now. It could be Abel, possessed him to kill Abel. I didn't get the point. There will always be fights against prophecies. So that's why you make war with them. Some of you just come here and you just say your ministry is taking up. You see, in your next meeting you're going to have, there will be a massive whatever. And you just say, oh, glory to God. See, go home. Take that word. Begin to fight. Satan will come after that prophecy. He will come after it with everything in him. He will serve you distraction. He will serve you anger. He will serve you hurt. He will serve you even blessing. He can give you a good job. He just wants to talk you out of it. Oh, well, I answer you and said, oh, your business is going to expand from now. I'm seeing you a million. Now, you think Stan is just going to relax. Even if he was not paying attention to you, he will begin to pay attention to you. Because whatever God is interested in, Stan is interested in it. That's what you don't realize. I get to the point. You are here in Lagos as a student, and I led us on a lady sometime ago, and thank God it's a testimony now. I told her, I'm seeing you, I just, in a meeting, that by the time you're graduating, you are in the first three in your class. Some of you here will remember this. That was somewhere in Abia State. And I just gave that word, you are the first three in your class. After that, I told her, see, don't think this is what's going to happen. Apart from reading, you have to take notes. I've spoken. Words I've gone for, Satan will fight those words. And thank God she's a graduate today, and it happened exactly as I said. I didn't get the point. But then, you don't just let words pass you by. When we are done, that's why when Zoe ends on Sunday, your Zoe now begins. You get all those things that we've said and begin to fight with them. And begin to contend that it must be stubborn when it comes has to do with prophecies. Because most times God has given, we don't know how to take. You go to the place of prayer. These words have gone forth. They work for me. You begin to pray. You begin to declare every day. Those things that have been said, begin to say it. You see what God did to Abraham. I teach you from this all the time. After he told him you have a child, Abraham could not have a child for a long time. He said, I know what your problem is. From now, your name is no longer Abraham. Your name is now Abraham. You are now father of many nations. So from now, every day they ask, who are you? Declare what I've said to you. What did God say to him? God told him, you will be the father of many nations. So God gave it to him as a name. So every day they ask, Abraham, what's your name? My name is father of many nations. Sarah, when they ask you, say father of many. Because once you put those words in your mouth and begin to say them all the time, you are engaging them to make sure they come to pass. Isaiah met Hezekiah and gave him a prophetic word, negative actually, and said, prepare your house, you're going to die. Now, if you don't know how prophetic words work, you will just start to look at Isaiah. God forbid, evil man, false prophet, false. It doesn't change anything. He spoke what he heard. Actually, that's not what God wants, but that's what was going to happen. But Hezekiah knew the secret. Things don't just happen. We make things happen. The believer is not a victim of circumstance. Hi. You're not getting what I'm saying. Things don't happen to me. Things happen by me and for me. I'm not a victim. So Hezekiah took to prayer. He prayed so much that God told going to Isaiah and told Isaiah, go back and tell that man he's not dying again. Are you following me? And so after Zoe, you begin to walk. That's why sometimes, after some hot impartation nights here, I know you're going to have some people stay in your house. But you see, try your best. When you get home, pray. Even if you're going to pray until you sleep off, it's fine. I didn't get a point. Just pray. Engage those words. War with them. Don't let them pass you by. Don't let them just pass. Don't let them just be yet another word spoken. What is happening today? There's a video clip I might share with us one of these days. Some of the things you see happening in church today, when I share that video clip, you will be so shocked at the accuracy of God's word. I'm not joking. 2020, I was in my pastor's church, and the man of God, not even my pastor, because if he's my pastor, he might say, he's just blessing me because he likes me. Never seen him before, just spotted me and began to speak, you're a pastor. I said, it happened two times. I began to speak specific words over our church. Specific words. Spoke about the fact that there are nearby campuses that will open up to us. Spoke about accurate words. It's actually online. Okay, the full meeting is online, so I've cut the clip and I've kept it somewhere. Hallelujah. Spoke about the fact that this place will be known as a hub for the supernatural. Spoke about a lot of things. I didn't just let those words pass me by. I know Satan heard them. But I heard them too. I didn't get the point. See, it was time to go to war. I've just gotten my weapons. I'm going to fight with these weapons. Hallelujah. I'm going to fight with these weapons. And today, some of the things we are seeing. And that's why, pay attention. Most times you see a man of God under attack, under heavy attack. Most times Satan is fighting the wars that have gone forth. And not just men of God. Most times you see your brothers and your sisters under heavy attack. Sometimes don't join that attack. Sometimes you might be joining the devil in his fights. You get what I'm saying? Might be assisting Satan to destroy people. Because most times Satan is fighting prophecies. And watch it. Every time a church or a man of God or anybody you know
goes through such attacks and does not break down, in the next 1 year, there is a rise. What it means is Satan was actually fighting that rise. But when he couldn't succeed. But the problem is that some of us might have joined Satan to fight his battle. Are you getting me? Words don't just come to pass. Daniel read a book. He read the book he read. He saw that Jeremiah actually prophesied many years ago that the captivity of Israel will last only 70 years. Guess what? Satan heard it. So when it was the 70th year, Israel was still in captivity. Satan was fighting that word. Thank God for Daniel. Daniel came across that thing. Daniel chapter 9. Came across that book. That book of Jeremiah. Bible said he denied himself for the next 21 days. He began to contend. He began to contend with that word. Now, see what happened. By the time the angel visited him with the answer, the angel told him, Daniel, from the first day you began praying, your prayer was heard. In fact, from the first day you started praying, God already sent me to bring the answer. He said, but the prince of Persia stopped me. Satan was fighting that prophet from coming to pass. That's why you must not be ignorant of the advice of the enemy. Are you following me? Because sometimes we begin to complain. Talk. All these things are scam. As you're shouting, somebody is giving testimony. Because some go home and refuse to relent. They refuse to relent. You don't realize that's why you go to a native doctor's house to do ritual. After the ritual and they do whatever for you, there is something they tell you to do every morning or every 4 market days. There is something you have to be doing to engage whatever that they've set in motion for you. I know what I'm saying? Every day, and that's the same thing I'm sharing with you. They are learning from the church. No, Satan tries to counterfeit Christ. I would say he has disguised himself as an angel of light. Just counterfeit Christ. So what will give you water? You don't just go home and sit down. Start speaking. Hallelujah. Some of you, when you are in first year, God told you plainly, I'm going to help you in this school. And you're going to leave this school with a first class. See, till you graduate, keep saying that thing. Even if you are now looking at your GP, it's now 4.8. And you know, like, no how, I want to graduate first class. You better be talking. Are you following me? Because I've seen things so. My own department in school. They just came out and said that there is no way people can graduate from first class. I'm not joking. People will not graduate from first class from this department. How can people graduate from first class here? There are not that we don't have enough doctors. We don't have any professors in this department. How can somebody? Is it my fault that people don't have doctors in the department? And that's how everybody was going to graduate from first class. Not one person left first class. I get the point. That by them you might war a good warfare. Yes, are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Satan will come against the things God has spoken. Some of you, I see in the spirit, there are prophecies hanging. I see prophecies hanging. They are just hanging all over the place. You are very close to them. Make war for them. Pray. Hold on to them. Refuse. Engage them. God has spoken to me. I'm not going to let it pass. Hallelujah. I'm not going to let it pass. I was young when people began to tell me. Strangers I did not know would just meet me. One met me and said, are you not Pastor Henry? I was a student. I was in first year. Say, yeah, Pastor Henry, now you are going to pastor, study church tomorrow. I said, who told you that? Did I tell you? I didn't even have a clue of this. And people were meeting me. I knew what to do with those words. But Satan came against it. All the fights you know that happened in my life from 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015 was this fight. Because Satan wanted to kill that child. There is a baby in your womb. Satan wants to terminate it. Immediately Mary took in. Revelation told us that when that woman became pregnant, that the dragon, put up Revelation 12, that the dragon was waiting for the woman so that once she delivers the baby, that he can terminate the baby. Are you following me? So, we don't just tell you. That's why you see people give them, you are healed, lay hands on them. They get their healing. They go back. The sickness comes back. Have you seen that kind of thing happen? Because they don't know when God has given you something, you must fight with it.
Hallelujah. This is Revelation 12. Just go down, go down, go down. Bible says, she being with a child cried, traveling in birth, and pained to be delivered. Now see, this was a prophetic stuff happening. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And he still drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood, this was talking about the fall of Satan. Where he said he drew the third part of the stars. He's talking about angels that fell with him. Are you following me? And did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child. So this was the fight against the birth of Jesus in the spirit. To devour that child as soon as it was born. How did this manifest in reality? Herod. Are you learning something? Herod. So in the physical, we just saw Herod saying, kill everybody. In the spiritual, this is what was happening. Dragon was waiting. Let that born that child. Let's kill it. There is a vision you are carrying. Once you give birth to it, all the forces in heaven and on earth will rise against it. But you must not let them. Hallelujah. Do you have a strong head?
Yes.
I'm telling you, you must have. You don't just let things happen and pass you by. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. That was in the spirit. In the physical, God appeared to Joseph and said, take this child, run to Egypt. But in the spirit, there was already a hand of safety upon that child. God will keep you safe. Hallelujah. So you contend with it. Finally, to make sure that these prophetic words are not wasted, please act, take the next step as you are led. Now this is another thing about our contending with prophetic words after they are given. I've mentioned prayer, but after prayer, sometimes the reason why you've not seen the words spoken over you come to pass is because you've not acted on them. I was teaching on healing the other time. I tell you, when we tell you, you are healed. If you couldn't move your leg, move your leg. It's the same principle I'm teaching you here. When we speak over your business, for instance. Now, that's why I said pray. After you pray, there are instructions that will follow. Some of you need to wake up the next morning and get to work. Don't just sit down. If I lay hands on you now and say, I've ministered the gift of healing to you, what should you do? By tomorrow, go to your hospital and begin to pray for the sick. Impartations begin to work when you begin to take steps immediately they are given. In Acts chapter 6, verse 6. Abi? Acts 6, verse 6. Pray it up quickly. I'm closing here. Very well. Whom they said before the apostles. Now, they picked 7 men. Stephen, Philip, and all that. They said before the apostles, when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. So there was no offense. Now, see verse 7. And the word of God increased. A number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Verse 8. And Philip, full of faith and power, did great wonders. So in many of those sense you are laid, Stephen began to engage. Did great wonders and miracles. Now, if he just sat down with his door, you see, the dead will not rise in your room. If I say I've released the miracle power of God on you, miracles don't happen on your bed. You step out. If I speak over your business, there are ideas that God will drop in your head. Start acting on them immediately. If I speak over your studies, there are instructions. God might give you more instructions. He can tell you, okay, join a reading group. He can tell you, do this and do this. Act on them. That's how they will come to pass. Are you following me? It is in those steps you take that you ensure that those impartations are not wasted. I speak over your finance. There are steps that will follow. Begin to act as led. I'll show you one scripture. I didn't plan to show this. Thank you, Father. Ooh, glory to God. Glory to God. First Samuel. When Saul met Samuel and imparted him, that's one of the greatest. Let me just get it. I didn't plan to. Oh, Felekora, but I was praying the Holy Ghost. First Samuel chapter 10. First Samuel chapter 10. This should be the last, and I'll close from here. First Samuel chapter 10.
Let's start from verse 1. Where I'm actually looking for is verse 7. But let's start from verse 1. Samuel took a vial of oil. This has happened to you as well. And poured it upon that, but I'm not physical oil, but I'm going to put this on you. And poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelza. This prophecy now. He's telling you what will happen. And they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found. And lo, thy father had left the care of the asses and sorrowed for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor. And there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kists, another carrying three loaves and bread, or three loaves of bread rather, and another, that's verse 3. Yeah. And another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee. Now, I was telling you what happened. This is God's favor now. You're going to encounter God's favor. They will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hand before I go a bogey. Amen. Now, after that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass, when thou art come there to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets, coming down from the high place with a psaltery, and a tabret, and a pipe, and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned. Now some of you will leave this meeting being turned into other men. Another man. Now see what follows. Where I'm going to. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee. For God is with thee. It's immediately this things happen. Do as the occasion demands. Put up another translation. Immediately you receive this impartation, when you are done, do what must be done. For God is now with you. That's the real of impartation. Saul, when this happens, don't sit down. Do one of the done. Put up like Amplify Classic. Amplify. Hallelujah. So when these things meet you, do whatever you find to be done. For God is with you. Now, you now get back whatever that you have to do. Start doing it. God is now aiding you. I didn't get the point. If you have to go to offices, do what has to be done. Now, I love GNT. Look at GNT. He said, when these things happen, do whatever God leads you to do. Don't waste impartation. If I minister to you for healing and working of miracles, act. Step out. Go to the streets. I minister to you for increase in finances. Step out. I minister to you for a job. As you are going back, start applying for jobs immediately. Do as the occasion demands. Hallelujah. We will not waste our time. We will not waste our time. We will not waste our time. So I want to close by saying to you, friend, be ready for the move of the Spirit. It will happen a lot and a lot. And this is not just for Zoe. Whenever hands are laid on you, pray, rejoice, give thanks, value the whatever has happened to you, contend with it afterwards. Take the next step as you are led. Do as the occasion demands. Do as the occasion demands. Hallelujah. Do as the occasion demands. People go from meetings like this and receive crazy impartation and go straight to their father's idol and bring down the shrine. Do as the occasion demands. Are you following me, church? Do as the occasion demands. People live with this like this. That was Champions Foundation. We had Doxa. A particular young girl received mighty impartation. She's still in church today, but in one of her centers. As for healing, she left home that day and began to look for a sick person to pray for. And that day, she had her first case of deafness and dumb tongue loosened by the power of God. Do as the occasion demands. You can't sit down after the impartation. You can't sit down. Whatever you receive,
act on it so it doesn't just become yet another experience. That's what occasion demands. Are you getting me? Some of you that are financially struggling, that's what I'm expecting God to do as a way. Get ready to act. Some of you, you might take a short, a little break between Thursday and Sunday. Immediately after Sunday, do as the occasion demands. Do as the occasion demands. Launch the business. Talk to more people about the business. Open new doors. Mention it to people. Do as the occasion demands. Why? For God is now with thee. Hands have been laid upon you. Words have been spoken to you. It's no longer the same thing as before. Now do as the occasion demands. Hallelujah. Except the Lord says you should slow down. There's a place where I got to say, well, slow down. But whenever the Lord says you should slow down on something, it's because he wants you to learn more. So what the occasion will now demand at that point? Go for more books. Go for more knowledge. When I got a petition to heal the sick, I hit the hospital. That's how I got whatever you see about healing today. I hit the hospital. Immediately. It was a routine every Saturday. Why do you think I developed courage to pray for the sick? Like that. I went to hospital. I saw people healed. I saw some that did not get healed. It was an amazing experience. Every Saturday. Because God told me, I've anointed you to heal. Hallelujah. So I'm going to do as the occasion demands. Some of you anoint your tongue to preach the gospel of peace. After the meeting, do as the occasion demands. Enter the market. Enter your classroom. Enter the streets. He has anointed your tongue. Hallelujah. So if he has commanded your hands to handle wealth, blessed be God who teaches my hands to make wealth. Yeah, he teaches my hands to make wealth. When you are done, do as the occasion demands. Expand the business. Go for more jobs. Meet more people. Do as the occasion demands. Don't waste God's investment on you. We are getting into a new season after that. Hallelujah. Now there are one or two of you here that want to travel abroad. And a couple of you have met me even last week to say things like, sir, nothing has been working. And some of you know yourself here. You know, it's like I'm getting discouraged and all that. And if you remember, I told you, we'll meet at Zoe. I'll give you your visa. And the money worth at Zoe. After the meeting, do as the occasion demands. After the meeting. I believe in the miracle working power of God. Do you believe? Let's stand to our feet. Let's just take a song and then we close. I'll see you on Thursday. Glory to God. Let's take that song again. Bread of life is from you. And we'll take it and sing, declaring the power of God in this place. Have you been blessed today? Did this service bless you? Hallelujah.
The bread of life is from you.
Ooh.
The bread of life is from you. The bread of life is you.
Yes, 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 yes.
Mountains bow before you. All the angels worship you. Oh, yeah.
Lord, we honor you.
Lord, we honor you.
Come on, John.
You are the glorious God.
Alabara.
Alabara.
This song has been great.
You are the mighty
like
God. When you laugh, you are the glorious God.
You are the glorious
God.
Alabara.
You are the mighty God.
You are the mighty God.
glory,
Jehovah.
Hey, you are the glorious God.
Two more times.
Say it.
All of the
rest. You are the mighty God.
You are the mighty God.
And you are the glory,
Jehovah.
You are the glorious God.
One
more time.
All of the
I said, there is nothing you cannot do. You know that song?
Yes, no,
there's no mountain
you cannot move. If you have said it, then you will do it. You have a track record of keeping your word, and you're not. There is nothing you cannot do. There's no mountain you cannot move. If you have said it, then you will do it. You have a track record of keeping your word, and you're not about to stop doing
it. There is nothing. Singing, come
you
on.
Are the track record of keeping your word, and you're not about to stop doing.
So there is nothing.
There is nothing you cannot do.
There is no mountain.
There is no mountain you cannot move.
Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you have said it, then you will do it. If you are the track record of keeping.
Everything. You believe those words? Amen. So I'm going to just take our offering. But just one more thing. You know this song that says, Creator of the universe, what can't you do? We're going to sing and dance to that song as we prepare for Thursday. What I'm doing is when I'm deliberate, I'm opening up this whole place for the move of the Spirit. From Thursday, something is happening here already. I know God. And I know you know him too. Hallelujah. He doesn't get us to waste our time. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo, glory.
Creator of the universe, what can you do? What can you do, Jesus? The name above every other name.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
What can't you do?
What can't you do?
What can't you
do.
Meet again.
Jesus.
Let them do it. Happening here is happening in our every center. Everybody's excited for Zoe. All of us are excited. God is going to move mightily here. We have prayed. You know we have prayed. We have, and I can even tell you from tomorrow we'll start praying specially. There will be a prayer that I will be leading from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for all our centers online. I'll be praying with you from 9:30 every night till 10 o'clock. Just 30 minutes. You see, what is remaining will be fixed. Are you in? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory!
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.